Why don't you go ahead and turn over to the book of, I was about to teach our Sunday school lesson. Go ahead and turn over to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 10. And boy, I tell you, the Sunday after revival, knowing what to preach is hard. I'm telling you one thing. You don't want to tear down what God's used and blessed and did that. So y'all pray for me this morning and really search for something on this. And begin to read here in Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the book of revival. If you want to know anything about revival, you read the book of Nehemiah. You can find out much. And just look at it with me there. Let's all stand this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 10. And the walls been built. And now the folks are coming back. And they're getting they're beginning to dwell back there in Jerusalem. And things are starting to happen. And now there has to be order in the city. A lot of things had to be reorganized, reset up. A lot of things that were there before, not there. Not only do they have the walls and, of course, the temple rebuilt, but now they're having to figure out how to order things, how to be in order. How do you go forward from here? And God used Nehemiah to give them order, not just to build a wall. This is really amazing about Nehemiah. Not only did he build the wall, but he reorganized the worship in Jerusalem and the direction that Jerusalem was going in. And Nehemiah's story is just amazing. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. Anybody says they can't be used of God just needs to get in the book of Nehemiah. It just needs to get in the book of Nehemiah because God can use you. Now, look at it with me in verse number 28. I'm not going to try to read all those names because, one, I can't pronounce them, and you probably, and you can't either, amen. So we just kind of do all that. But these are all the ones that were sealed. And look at verse number 28. And the Bible says the rest of the people, the priests and Levites, the porters, the singers and the Nethinims and all they that had separated themselves of the people of the lands into the law of God, their wives and their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk with God, walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all things, the commandments of the Lord our God, and his judgments and his statutes. And that he would not give our daughter, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that they would leave the seventh year, that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Also, we made ordinance for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, and for the showbread, and for the continual meat offering, and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths of the new moons, for the set feast, and for the holy things, and for the sin offerings, to make an atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering, to bring it unto the house of our God after the houses of our fathers at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God as it is written in the law. I want to draw your attention there to verse number 34. And we cast the lots among the priests and Levites and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God at the house of our fathers at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord of our God, as is written in the law. And this is an amazing statement here in that they had to cast lots to bring in the wood. And I brought in some wood this morning, laid it on the board, laid it up here, just an illustration, went out there and grabbed a few. Brother Charles probably thought I was losing my mind. I was out there this morning breaking some wood off, just bringing it into the house of God. I want to preach on this morning on who's going to keep the fire burning. Who's going to keep the fire burning? And the Bible tells us there are several passages of Scripture about the need to keep the wood on the fire. Amen. Now, there's two types of fires in the Bible. There's fire that burns of oil. That one that burned of oil was that pressed oil. They'd bring it in. They poured it into the candlesticks and things like that, and they would burn the oil. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And there's a fire that burns according to the if you will, the fuel of oil. But there's a fire that has to burn according to the fuel of the wood. And so there are different kind of fires there, but both carry a very important service. Amen. So I want to preach on today on who's going to keep the fire burning. Amen. Who's going to keep the revival going? Amen. Who's going to keep the revival going? And so let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Brother Freddie, if you lead in prayer, please pray for me this morning, please.
for your Bible, Lord. Thank you for helping me, Lord. Bless the preacher. Help us to be closer to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Who's going to keep the fire burning? Well, there's several things about this passage, and you're going back up to verse number 32. If you look at verse number 32, there's some things about that they've had revival there. The wall's been rebuilt. And notice what it says. It says, also, we made ordinance for us to charge ourselves yearly with third part of shekel for the service as of the house of our God. Now, there was a charge to keep. They made a charge, an ordinance to themselves. That they'd do. In other words, they made a regular time, a charge for themselves that they'd keep the house of God. They said it's important. They said it's important. We charged ourselves. And verse number 32 says, also we made ordinances for us. And the word ordinance had in its most simplest form means we put some order to ourselves. We put some order to ourselves. It wasn't chaotic. We wasn't up or down or back and forth or wishy-washy. We set some order to our lives. And I tell you, if there's anything we need in our Christian walk today and in our church's day, it's some order in folks' life where they know that there's a time to be at the house of God and they're in the house of God because it is an ordinance. It's a time to be there. There's some order in my life. In other words, I don't vote on whether I go to the house of God. Amen. If you sit around on Wednesday and try to figure out whether or not you're going to go to the house of God, you're voting on God's house. You're voting on God's house. And if you vote about, you say, well, I'm not going to support the church, and you had to sit around and debate around the house, you're voting on that. And we're not to vote about those things. There's some things that we're supposed to do, and it is in order that we do it. And so, there's some order in our life. We must have that. Notice what it says also. It says, and we made ordinance for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel. And so they're going to take out monies to help the house of God. But notice the word here, it says they charge themselves. And the word of charge has the meaning of being obedient. In other words, not only do we have an order, but we are obedient to what we were going to do. Amen. We're going to do that because it's right. You're just going to do it. Amen. And then the third thing we see in verse 32, it says a shekel for the service of the house of our God. Now notice this. It says it had an ordinance for us to charge ourselves that we might bring a shekel for the service of the house of our God, not the God, not some God, but our God. And so they said this ordinance that they set up, that they was going to charge themselves with, they're going to be an obedient to that thing, that it gave them an opportunity to be of service to the house of God. Amen. Now, something we need to understand, there's a charge to keep, and that charge needs to be that we need some order in our lives. We need some obedience in our life because being in the house of God and participating in the house of God is an opportunity. Amen. It is not something, some drudgery that we just get by with. It's an opportunity to be in service, be of service to the house of God. And so if we're going to keep the fire burning, we've got to understand that there's a charge to keep. And we're here today because somebody kept the charge. Amen. Somebody said, we're going to have some order, we're going to have some obedience, and we're going to take the opportunity to keep this church doors open. We're going to take the opportunity to make sure that somebody has that Bible printed. We're going to take the opportunity, and we're going to be part of something that is big enough that we ought to keep charge. Amen. And so how are we going to keep the fire burning? Number one, there must be a charge to us. There must be something that we know we ought to do. Amen. Do you agree there? There's some things we just know we ought to do. And listen, it shouldn't take a lot of pumping and priming to get it done. Just do it because you know you ought to do it. Amen. And so there must be a charge to keep. And then there's a cause to keep. Look at verse number 33. Look what it says. For the showbread, and for the continual meat offering, and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths of the new moons, for the set feast, for the holy things, for the sin offering to make an atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. Now they set this thing aside, and they said, listen, there's a cause, there's some things we need to keep, and there's a cause to keep them. Now they mentioned several things, and I'm not sure I can bring them all out, but I'd like to bring a few things out to you about what it says they're going to keep. Number one, it talks about the showbread. Now, this word showbread means a bread of food or bread of the face. In other words, it was a bread that was presented before God, from their face to God's face. And when they did that, Brother Ty, they brought in 12 loaves And that's not easy to calculate to figure out who that means. That represents those 12 tribes. And they'd have that, they'd bring it into that holy place. And they'd set it upon that showbread table. And there'd be two rows, a row of six and a row of six. And they would bring that in every week, fresh bread. And they'd lay it on that table. And they refreshed it every day, every week for the Sabbath day. Every week for the Sabbath day, fresh bread was brought out and consecrated, if you will, before the Lord. And so we see here a picture of unity and consecration, fresh bread, every week. The third thing about this thing is it was eaten by the priests and kings. Once that fresh bread was brought in, they'd take that other bread off, and the kings, the priests, eat that. But not just the priests. The Bible says when David was fleeing from Saul, the Bible says over in 1 Samuel 21:6, so the priests gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. And so the priest had gone in there, and there was fresh bread going to be put on, and they took the showbread that was being taken off, and David was hungry, and his men were fleeing, and the priest brought out that showbread that was supposed to be rotated out, and he brought it out to the King David and gave him that bread to eat. And the Bible says in the New Testament that God makes us to be kings and priests. Amen. And so we can eat of that bread because of the priestly office, but we can also eat of that bread because of the kingly office. Amen. That God has now changed us from a bunch of paupers to priests and kings. Amen. Now stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. Now the Bible says that this thing in the book of Leviticus, this bread was made out of three things. It was made of fine flour, it was made of oil, and it was made of frankincense. Amen. It had no leavening in it. Had no sin. Amen. Leaven, the picture of sin, had no sin in it whatsoever. And so it was there. It was made out of that fine flour. And they'd take that flour, and they'd grind it down, and it'd have fine flours pure. And then they'd take that pure bread, and then mix it with that oil, and that oil speaks of the Spirit of God. Amen. And the third thing that Bible says, when they got ready to put it up there, they'd sprinkle it over with frankincense. And frankincense talks about joy and worthiness. Amen. They said it's worthy to be sprinkled a very expensive perfume. And they said that bread is worth putting that frankincense on. Can you imagine, ladies, taking your highest perfume you got? Amen. Get the best you got and baking that bread and then fragrancing that bread over with the high, most expensive perfume you can imagine, because it is a worthy bread. Now, why would they do that? What is the point of the showbread? You say, well, to feed the kings and the priests. No, that wasn't the point. That's what was brought of it, because everything brought unto God serves purpose. Amen. God don't let it just go away. God serves a purpose in everything. I said he's got order. Now stay with me. The Bible says in Psalms 23:5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, there's one thing that says this, that God had been a provider for them, and therefore they were showing that God's provision for them, that God prepared a table for them, and they laid it back before the Lord because he's a provider. But the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 10:17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. You know what that showbread is a picture of? It's a picture of all the things that God's given us that are good. It's a picture of the fine purity of God. It's a picture of the oil of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the joy of being saved. Amen. And they'd take that showbread and they'd put it in there fresh every week. Fresh bread. Fresh bread. Fresh bread every week. Amen. And they would be reminded. It would be a reminder to God and a reminder of themselves of what God has done for them. That's the first thing. Stay with me. So we see the showbread. It's a picture of the remembrance of what God's done. Now look on with me in the meat offering. The Bible says also, for the showbread and for the continual meat offering. Now a lot of people read that and they'll think, well, that means it's got some flesh in it. It's got some meat in it. But the meat offering had no meat, in it. It's called meat offering and also called meal offering. Now the word meat used there in the Bible has a picture. Anytime you see that meat there, it doesn't necessarily mean there was flesh, but it has the meaning of food. It was a meat offering. It was a food offering, if you will. And so, and you say, well, preacher, can you prove that? I sure can. Leviticus chapter number 2 tells us what's in it. There's no meat. It's all meal, fine flour, things like that. And so there's four things are in this meat offering. And Leviticus chapter 2 tells us that. Number one is fine flour. And it's, listen, they would take the first fruit, first green corn of the land. And they would take that corn and they'd beat it down until it became like a fineness to it. And they would, listen, there wouldn't be no leavening in it. And they wouldn't add any honey to it. Honey is a picture of the flesh. Here I'm talking about sweetness of the flesh. And they didn't take it because the sweetness of flesh. Listen, the sacrifice of Christ, because he was the sweetness of heaven, not because he's the sweetness of flesh. You hear what I'm saying? It's because he's the sweetness of heaven. And they'd take that corn, they'd beat it down into a fine flour. They'd beat that thing down to a fine flour. And it talks about the purity of God. And then it says they'd take that oil and they'd pour it in there. That talks about the anointing. Amen. Christ, the anointed one. And then they'd take that frankincense again. And they'd cost that costly frankincense. It was worthy. And they'd sprinkle it over that fine flour and that oil. And then they would take salt and they'd throw salt in it. And that salt talks about preservation. And seasoning of life. Oh, what a seasoning since Jesus got passed by. Amen. What a seasoning that God's given us in Christ Jesus. Are you listening? And so we have that fine flour and that oil and that frankincense and that salt. And then the book of Leviticus tells us there was three ways that they could cook that bread, that meat offering. There were three ways they'd do it. The first way was they could take it and cook it in an oven. And that oven at that time had four legs on it. And it lifted it off the earth. And when they put it in the oven, that old bread while it was cooking couldn't be seen by man. It's a picture of when God took the judgment of Christ and from heaven's standpoint looked down and saw the righteousness of Christ and accepted him. Amen. While it was cooking, it was off the ground. Amen. And then second of all, they said they'd take a pan and they could take it and bake it in a pan. And that pan talks about how that a pan didn't have a cover on it. And while it was baking, everybody could see it. The Bible says that they walked by and wagged their heads upon them they looked on. Amen? This whole world could see that. We could see him. He wasn't hid from us when he's on Calvary. And then third way, said they could take an old iron. Let me get the word right. They could take a skillet, I think the word is. Let me make sure I got the word right. My brain, y'all forgive me this morning. The third way, yeah, they take a frying pan. And a frying pan was something that every common man had. And that every man could see the righteousness of God. And it could be prepared three ways. It could be prepared in an oven that God could see it. It could be prepared in a pan that man could see it. Or it could be prepared in a frying pan that any man could see it. Amen. And it says that they cooked it that way and they presented it unto God. And it's a picture of the righteousness of God. And that he would be there at fine flour, the first fruits. That he would be beaten and seen that he was fine and pure. That he would have the oil of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That he had the salt of purity. Amen. That he had the fragrance of the frankincense, and that he could be presented unto God himself, that he could be presented unto every man, and that every man poor, which every common man could see the righteousness of Christ. Thirdly today, not only do we see remembrance and righteousness in these sacrifices, but then he says also a continual burnt offering in verse number 33. And those continual burnt offerings is like Calvary. It always had to have something on there. That's that brazen altar there. It always had to have a sacrifice on that brazen offering altar. And it's a picture of Calvary. There's any way you look at it, it's a picture of Calvary. Every way you measure it, every way you stand at it, it's a picture of Calvary. The priest couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies. Hey, they couldn't even make it to the laver to look in unless they passed by the brazen altar first. Every person that come in had to pass by the brazen altar. Thanks God. Thanks be to God. I passed by Calvary. Aren't you glad today? Hey, everything we do is based upon the finished work of Calvary. Amen. And it is a continual sacrifice that what Christ did is satisfactory unto God. And it doesn't need to be redone. Aren't you glad that we don't need a new cross or we don't need another sacrifice? But when he sacrifices, it's continual. It is forever. The Bible says over Revelations chapter number 4, he said, I turned him hold. Chapter 5, he says, I turned him hold a lamb as it had been slain. Amen. In other words, when John seen Jesus, he seen him in the state where the scars were still there. The scars are still there. Amen. And so we see here today, there's a picture of righteousness and reconciliation that we're reconciled unto God by the cross of Calvary. And fourthly, he says, there's a sin offering. And that sin offering, they would sin, they would fail God. And not only did they have that burnt sacrifice, but they had that sin offering where they'd come in and they'd take that ram or that lamb or that oxen, and they'd lay their hands on the oxen, and they'd transfer their sin debt over the head, and then they'd sacrifice that sin offering. And there was a continual sin offering. They had to come over and over. And we've got to confess our sins. But he says if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad today that God is a God that will save you and cleanse you and keep forgiving you? And let's say amen there. We need forgiveness, don't we? You say, well, preacher, what are you trying to say this morning? Are you just trying to give us a history lesson? No. I'm telling you, there's a cause to keep the fire burning because every one of these things had to have the fire burning in order to have it done. In order to make the showbread, you had to have wood in the fire. In order to make the meat offering, you had to have wood in the fire. In order to have the continual burnt offering, you had to have the wood in the fire. In order to offer the sin offering, you had to have the wood in the fire, what I'm saying. Preacher, listen, church. There's a cause to keep. And the keep is to have that community. Union with God, we need to have the fire, and we've got to have the wood. We've got to have the wood. I just wonder this morning, who's going to keep the fire burning? You got your Bible still open? Look at verse 34. This is an amazing verse. The Bible says in verse 34, and we cast the lots. And we cast the lots. You said there's gambling? No. It wasn't gambling. It says, and we. That means everybody was willing. And we, everybody, took their name and wrote it on a piece of lot, a piece of square, or whatever it was, a piece of paper, whatever it was at that time. And everybody come in and throwed their name in the bag. Everybody throwed their name in the bag. Why? Because their fire must keep burning. Everybody said, I'll do it. Everybody's willing to throw their name in for what needs to get done. You hear what I'm saying? We're going to keep the fire burning. Everybody's going to throw their part in. Everybody's going to put their name in. Everybody's going to get involved. Can't stand on sidelines think the fire's going to keep burning. Now look at it. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people. Notice this. It's all walks. In modern day, we'll just say it like this. The pastor needs to have his lot thrown in. Deacons need to have their lot thrown in. The Sunday school teachers need to have their lot thrown in. The music leader, the pianist, everybody. Every walk has to say, listen, it's important that we keep the fire burning. And we're going to cast our part in. We're going to cast our name in. Don't matter what walk of life you're in. I'm going to be a part of this thing. Brother Jim's here with us today and he passed us. Past the other night, other Thursday night, Brother Jim's here, and we was walking out the door, and I know he's been sick lately, and I appreciate him coming. Amen. I wasn't a fuss he hadn't come. I was glad to see him. He's walking out the door, and I said, Brother Jim walked past me, and I said, Brother Jim, I told Brother Wharton, I said, Brother Jim, been here all along. I said, he really supports us. And Brother Jim said this. He said, as long as I can, preacher, I'm going to. He said, I'm going to. You know what Brother Jim's saying? Put my name in the bag too. All walks, all walks, all walks. Priest, Levites, and the people, everybody, cast their name in because the fire must keep burning. Amen. Thirdly, notice this. All we cast lots among the priests and Levites and people. Notice this. For the wood offering. And as far as I can find, as far as it been named as an offering, it is the first time in the Bible I can see it named as an offering. Before it was a duty. But now it says it's an offering. To bring it to the house of our God after the houses of our fathers at the times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God as is written in law. And they said many people, they don't know if it meant that they did it weekly or monthly or one family says, I'll take a year. I mean, it can be interpreted any one of those ways. We don't know. It just says what it says. I don't know if everybody brought it a year or brought it a day or brought it a month or whatever, but everybody threw it in and said, we will bring it according to our families. Our families will be committed to keeping the fire burning. We're going to bring the wood. We're going to bring the wood. We're going to bring the wood. We're going to bring the energy that it's going to take to keep the remembrance going.
Amen.
We're going to do that. Now watch this. Watch this. Why did they get in the state where they needed this? The Gibeonites, when Joshua came into the land of Canaan, the Gibeonites fooled Israel. They fooled them. They dressed themselves up in old clothes, hummed themselves over, took their bags and put old moldy bread in it, and said, "We've come from a long ways to make peace with y'all." They were the next door neighbors. But Israel was defeating and destroying every king and every nation in its way. And the Gibeonites feared them and feared God. And they come up to them and said, "Listen, you need to make a league with us." They looked in their bags and moldy bread. Their shoes were all worn out and everything, and they thought it was so. They didn't seek God's face, Israel didn't. They say, "Well, because you come this way and approached us this way, we'll make a commitment to you. We'll make a covenant with you, and we won't destroy you." Well, then they found out, the same week, "Wait a minute, these are our neighbors." Boy, they brought them in and said, you've lied against us, but we've made a covenant with them. And Joshua said this, "I tell you what, we're going to keep our word, but you're going to be slaves unto us. And your job is to keep the hewers of wood, cut the wood, and bring the water. That's what your job's going to be." And the Gibeonites did not argue that point with others because they said it's better to be saved and working than lost and free.
Amen.
And they got there and worked. And they did it all the time that Israel was in sync with God and the kings. But there came a day in Israel's life when they sinned against God and got cold on God, got indifferent. The Bible says he carried them into captivity, Brother Ty. You know what happened to those Gibeonites when they carried them back to captivity? A lot of them didn't come back home. Now the only people in the land was the people of Israel. And there was a Nealathites, I probably mispronounced that wrong. They did some of the work of the wood too, but there wasn't enough of them. In other words, the ones that were supposed to get it, there wasn't as many around as they used to carry wood. So now everybody needs to carry wood. Because it's more important to keep the fire burning than anything else. So everybody said, "We'll throw our name in too. It's my job to keep the fire burning. It's my job." And the Bible says they throw it all in there. I read over in Genesis chapter 22, verse 7. The Bible says this. It says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, said, My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And of course, we know what he said. The Lord provide for himself a lamb. The Lord provide himself a lamb, not for himself, himself a lamb. Amen. But Abraham knew that in order to have a sacrifice, you had to have fire. In order to have fire, you had to have wood. The Bible says over there in Proverbs 26:20, "Where no wood is, the fire goeth out." Pretty practical. You got no wood, there'll be no fire. The Bible says over there in Acts 28:3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, remember they were warming themselves? Remember the heathen had taken them in and put the fire together? Paul said, "I'm not going to stand around and let you just put the fire on." The Bible said Paul went and gathered up some sticks himself to put on fire. And when he put the wood on fire, the serpent came in. I'll come out of the fire and bit him. I'll tell you right now, you start getting a fire, the serpent's going to show up. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Paul shook him off in the fire. Best way to take a serpent when you try to have fire is shake him off right back in the same fire you're building.
Amen.
Amen. Just shake him off in the fire that you're building. Make the fire bigger. Just shake him off in the fire you're building. That's going to make him mad. Just shake him off in the fire you're building. Are y'all listening? In order to have a fire, you got to have wood. You got to have somebody that go out and work to make sure that you can have fire. Now, the Bible tells us not only was there a cause to keep and a casting to keep and a charge to keep, but there's a crop to keep. Look at verse 35. "And to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruits of all the trees year by year unto the house of the Lord." And so they brought in those first fruits of all those things and they give them to God. And the Bible, you know, there's a blessing in the root. Everyone should have roots. Everybody should have roots. Mark 4:17, "Have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward with affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." You don't have any roots, you'll just go away. You'll just go away. Nobody lives without roots. You got to have some roots. And so we have a blessing in the root, but when you have a blessing in the root, Isaiah 37:31 says, and remnant that was escaped to the house of Judah shall again take root down when it bear the fruit upward. See, the key of bearing fruit is having roots. When you got roots, you start bearing fruits. When you have the blessing of the root, you have the bearing of the fruit. You hear what I'm saying? You put some roots down. But see, in order to do those things, they had to keep the fire going. Because they had to have a sacrifice on the fire. And they had to keep remembering what God had done for them. And they had to keep the meat offering of righteousness. And the continual burnt offering of reconciliation. And the sin offering of repentance. They had to have those things. And so they had to have the fire. Had to have fire. Had to have fire, you got to have wood. And you say, well, preacher, is it really that important? Anybody think Nehemiah is a great book besides me? I think it is a tremendous book on instruction. I want to show you something. Nehemiah, I want to show you something. Turn to the last chapter of Nehemiah. I never knew this. Brother Tony, I've never seen this in my life. I've preached through the book of Nehemiah. I've never seen this in my life. I wish I'd have seen it the first time, but God knows what we need when we need it. I want you to see this right here. Nehemiah, cupbearer, wall builder. Amen. Faithful to give order. Look at verse 30. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business. And for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits, notice what he says, remember me, O my God, for good. Nehemiah says in his closing statements to God, remember me for the wood and the fruit. Lord, remember that we kept the fire going and we bear the fruit. We kept the fire going. Brother Ty, he could have mentioned everything. Think about it. Lord, remember me for the wall. Lord, remember me for... Now, what do you remember? He said, Lord, remember me for the wood. Remember me good for the wood and for the fire. Remember me good for the fire, for the wood of the fire, and for bearing the fruit. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you don't think the fire makes any difference, that last verse tells me it makes a difference to keep the fire going. And I tell you what, this week we've had some fire with you. Whether you received or not, I don't know, but there's been some fire delivered to us this week. Preacher brought light this week. Some of us got it and said, boy, I got that. I had a lot of people say, I got that, preacher. There's something God's shown me this week. There's some things I need in my life better. There's some things that need to be changed. There's some fire been lit underneath me. See, the problem is, though, if you don't keep any wood on the fire, where there is no wood, fire goeth out. You know, wood's going out. You got to labor to get wood. It don't just come to you. I ain't never had it stack and split by itself. Never have. It means you got to determine that you need to keep the fire going. It means you need to get out there and pray. Then you get out and study. It means on Saturday night, if you have trouble getting here on Sunday morning, you need to get on Saturday night and get your clothes ironed. If you know you got to be here on Wednesday night, means you need to save gas up so you have gas money. I mean, whatever it is to be, you have to make up your mind that I'm going to be there and I'm going to put some wood, I'm going to bring some wood with me to the house of God. I'm going to labor that when I walk in, I'm going to bring some wood. I'm going to be a help to the fire. I'm going to be prepared to be a help to the fire. Whatever God, listen, however God's wanting to do. Now, the Holy Spirit's going to take care of the oil. That's a fire that we cannot make. We cannot make the oil. But we can bring the labor of the wood. Amen. Only God can give light. That oil was always for the light. That wood is for the sacrifice. And only we. The only way the fire is going to keep burning. If we bring the wood of service. And God, I cast my lot in. It is my duty. It is my job. It is my commitment to keep the fire going. keep the fire going? I'll ask you this question. Who's going to keep the fire going? Who's going to keep the fire going? Let's all stand. For the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good. Well, if you want a Bible verse to underline, that'd be a great Bible verse to underline. Say, God, help me keep the wood. Help me keep the wood. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It'd be a shame to learn what we learned this week, to be encouraged in what we've been encouraged on this week, and let the fire go out. It'd be a shame. It'd be a waste of God's time. It'd be a waste of energy and finances and putting Brother Wharton on the road and the pain he had to go through to preach. It'd be totally wasting what God has used and given us in that if we are not committed to keep the fire going. I don't have pianists come play something soft this morning. I'm just going to close this thought this morning. I just give you my heart best I could this morning. That's the best way I could present it to you. I just want to ask you this question. Who's committed? Who's committed to keep the wood on the fire? I'm going to commit, throw my lot in. I may not be the priest, or I may not be the Levi. I'm just a preacher. I don't have a particular duty in church, but I'm going to keep wood on the fire. When I walk into church, I want to be a blessing to keep revival stirring in this place. I want to make a difference. I want people to see it in my life, and I want to make sure that when it's put on, when I bring it in, when I bring it in, I'm just adding to the fire. I'm just adding to the fire. I'm just adding to the fire. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, if you need to come some more, if you'd like to come, maybe you just want to come down to the altar and say, God, help me keep the wood on the fire. If you need to come some more, just come on down. God, I'm going to be committed. I want to keep the wood on the fire. I want to keep the wood on the fire. I want to keep the wood on the fire. And say they signed up after somebody else signed up. And say they look around to see who else was committed. So each one of them threw their name in. Each one of them threw their name in. And each one of them brought wood. Hey, let's just think about it, church. Many of us are reaping the blessings of what other people have done. In America, we're reaping the blessings of what a generation before us, generation before us did. Some of the commitments and separation from this world, some of the remembrance and the blessings, some of the worship, some of them keeping that book right. We are being blessed by those that did not let it get taken. I mean, some of them are like those Gibeonites. They're just glad they're saved. I'll go bear water. I'll go bear fire. I'll go bear wood. In America, we've lost the revival spirit. And everybody wants everybody else to do it. We want to read past revivals and think the past revival is going to do us for today. No, that's not going to do it. Somebody's going to bring the wood for the fire. I absolutely believe that. Somebody has got to get committed. And that somebody has to be me. Somebody has to be me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, if you need to come this morning. If you're too busy, listen to me. If you're too busy, be committed to the house of God. You're too busy. You're too busy. Preacher, I'd be involved, but I got this and this and this and this and this. And I get none. You're too busy with things of this world. When you cross over from this world to that world, and you measure all these things you're doing against what He's wanting us to do, what He's told us to do, what He's commanded us to do, He's commanded us to do, I don't think it's going to hold up. We find time for those things that do not matter in eternity. And for those things that do matter, we can't find, we just barely can give God some time. Others are looking on. Young folks are looking on. And we'll know if we're committed. I look back past generations. And I see them committed. I see them going. I see them witnessing. I see them working. I see them testifying. I see them keeping wood on the fire. Now we're too busy. I'm telling you, church, somebody's got to get the wood on the fire. Brother Warren Willie's preaching this week. I thought about it. Here he is, 62 years old. He's hurting. He didn't feel good. Drove 8 hours. Come right here and preach. Did an awesome job on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, all the nights. Fed our hearts. Didn't complain about it. You know why? It comes from a generation that believes y'all keep wood on fire. At least he believes y'all keep wood on fire. That's the reason he's blessing to you. Walks in with a torch lit. I want to be like that. Brother Ernie, if you dismiss us.